Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on this Labor Day morning, Monday, September the 3rd. Do you have the day off? Do you plan to have a picnic or a cookout to celebrate the last unofficial day of summer? Well, then we have a real treat for you this hour. You'll get some ideas for today's feast or your next cookout by joining us as we talk with Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies and author of a gazillion books on grilling. They're getting fired up for an appearance on the Jerry Lewis Telethon on a Green Bay television station where they will be grilling seafood and seasonal vegetables, and we'll hear how they plan to do that. Plus, Mad Dog and Merrill will have some tips for you for your next cookout, be it today or another day. Maybe they'll have a new twist on something that you plan to grill today for your Labor Day gathering. Give us a call with your questions. Maybe your favorite thing to do on the grill. Maybe you have a technique or a recipe that you're pretty proud of and are willing to share with us. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Mad Dog and Merrill are grilling buddies and grilling experts. They are the author of several books, including Grillology 101, Forever Tailgating, and Fest Ever Holiday Grilling. I think right now they're in the parking lot of WLUK-TV in Green Bay, firing up the grill for their appearance on the Jerry Lewis Telethon in about an hour or so. Good morning, Mad Dog.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. And good morning, Merrill.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today, Joy?
Great. Thanks a lot for being with us, both of you. Sounds like it's going to be a great day for a Labor Day cookout.
Well, you know, we've actually been practicing the last couple of days because we are grillologists. We've certainly had the grills fired up for family events, too. So we have a good time.
Yeah. You're going to be making seafood today for your appearance on the Jerry Lewis Telethon?
We're going to be doing plank salmon.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, delicious stuff.
Well, is that a new Labor Day tradition in your household?
Yeah, we're starting it this year.
Really? Well, yeah, that's kind of that's neat because, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with brats and burgers, but it's nice to do something different. And you must be, are you worried about, you know, looking out for your health or something with the seafood?
Well, you know, actually salmon, as we've been touring around to different home and garden shows and sports shows this year, we've been doing a lot of salmon because I've been doing some research on it, and it really is extremely good for you. I mean, like, there's 40 grams of protein in a 6-ounce piece. It has more calcium than cottage cheese because of the bone structure that goes through the fish. Adds all the calcium to the salmon. And, of course, those great omega-3s in there, like 12 times as amount as beef. Nothing wrong with beef, of course. But, I mean, it is really good for you, and it's delicious. And it's probably the easiest fish to start with because of all those great omega-3s in there, all those great oils. You can overcook it a tad bit. We don't want you to, but you can overcook it a tad bit, and it doesn't dry out as fast.
This is really a coincidence. I attended an early Labor Day cookout. My brother-in-law is a grillologist, too, and, in fact, I think you're his idols, so he might even call in a little bit later in the hour. But he made, of all things, salmon, and that's what we had along with some brats.
And did he explain to you that when the salmon is done, it starts to bead white, the juices get pushed to the top?
Yes, and it does. It looks a little odd, but what do you do? Do you just, that's okay to eat that, isn't it?
Well, sure. All that is the proteins being pushed to the top, the natural proteins of the fish, like coffee perks to the top. The same principle applies. That's the juices being pushed to the top. And when that little beading starts, that's when you know nature's way of telling you the fish is done.
The what he does, well, I want to know what you do, but I think he gets a lot of his tips from you. In fact, he slathers this thing, I think, in lime juice and basil and some other herbs. Do you do that?
He is a grillologist. That's for sure.
All right, tell us what you do.
What we actually do, we the number one thing we do preach with all seafoods, with all wild games in Wisconsin, and with about 85% of other meat products. We always make sure that you lightly glisten with an oil, olive, corn, vegetable, sunflower, walnut, really doesn't make a difference. Lightly glisten with an oil all meat products so they do brown up beautifully and hold those natural juices the natural flavors, the unnatural flavors of the lime and the basil and everything else, and it keeps the little guys from sticking on the grates of the grill. So we always lightly glisten with an olive oil some salmon, season it up with a nice heavy seasoning on there. And the thing that we like to do, being from Wisconsin, of course, you can either pour real maple syrup over the top,
oh,
or you can pack it with brown sugar, and it brings out this gorgeous sweetness and a glaze over the top that's wonderful.
That's, yeah, he did not do that. That does sound good. And then is it directly on the grill, or do you put foil down?
You know, if the skin is on the fillet, which we suggest, you place it skin side down directly on the grates of the grill. The skin acts as a protective and a nice medium heat underneath there, direct method of cooking. And literally you put the hood down, and even the largest fillets of fish will be done in 12, 15 minutes. All the beating will be done. And if you have the full fillet on there and the tail end's the thinnest, you want to position it so you can turn a burner off underneath it about 5-6 minutes into the cooking process, because that piece will be literally beaded white and be done.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do plank salmon, sorry to interrupt there, mm-hmm, Joy. If you do plank salmon, we suggest you take the skin off it because it gets a little soft on top of the plank salmon. If that makes sense.
It does. But what is the plank then?
The plank is untreated lumber. Untreated lumber, you can go to any grill store and get hickory, oak, elder, cedar is a common one. And you take these planks, you soak them in water for a couple hours so they're not a harsh smoke, but you soak them in water for a couple hours. You take your seasoned fish, plop it right on a plank that's been soaked in water for a while so it's ready. You place that plank with the fish on top directly on the grates of the grill. Nice medium heat underneath it, put the hood down, and you have to double the length of time you cook it. So if it takes 12 to 15 minutes just on the grates of the grill, because that plank is thick and it protects the meat with the hood down, it'll take about a half hour, but the smoke will begin to bellow around, and it's not a harsh smoke, it's a mellow smoke because of the soaking of the water. And literally, when you open up that hood, it'll be the most gorgeous piece of salmon you'll believe, hard to believe, it really is. It's just glazed over the top, has a beautiful light smoky flavor to it, and I suggest it to your brother-in-law.
It sounds good to me. I'm going to suggest it too. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests this hour, they are the grilling buddies, finding out how they are going to make some plank salmon today for their Labor Day cookout. They're participating in the Jerry Lewis Telethon on WLUK-TV in Green Bay. In fact, if you're in the Green Bay television market, I think you can turn on your television a little after 7 o'clock and you might see them doing this. We'll find out how they plan to do some seasonal vegetables as well, and we'll welcome any questions you have. We have an open line for you. I hope you'll join in. 1-800-642-1234. What's on your menu for the cookout today? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up on this Labor Day, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins this afternoon, talking about labor issues. How satisfied are Americans with their jobs? Gene's guest after 4 says most people are satisfied with what they do for a living and with the flexibility of their hours. Are you? We'll find out after 4 o'clock. We're talking with a couple of guys who like their jobs. Mad Dog and Merrill are grilling masters, grillologists, grilling buddies, author of several books, including Forever Tailgating, Fest Ever Holiday Grilling, and Grillology 101. They are going to be grilling today for the Jerry Lewis Telethon on WLUK-TV in Green Bay. And they are joining us from the parking lot as they get ready for that appearance. And we're welcoming your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. Let us know what you plan to grill today, or maybe what you plan to do for your next tailgate, and maybe Mad Dog and Merrill will have some tips for you. or if you have a recipe or a technique that you want to share, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The Grilling Buddies are going to be preparing plank salmon today, and you're also, Merrill, going to be doing seasonal vegetables, is that right?
Right. We do a whole array of different vegetables, and I think a lot of people don't realize of all the different types of vegetables that you can do on the grill. Obviously, tis the season where there's tons of zucchini out there, mm-hmm. which you grilled zucchinis. Carrots are exceptionally, absolutely fantastic. You take a whole carrot, make sure that you oil it first. Obviously, you're going to clean it up first, but oil it. Place it on the grill, and when you're grilling, we really want to convince people to really cook on a medium heat all the time, right? Too many, especially the men, maybe too many macho men out there usually got that baby cranked up on high, you know, and smoke going down the end of the street. You want to get rid of the machoism, you know. You want to grill in a nice medium heat. You know those macho men out there, don't you,
Joey? Bob is one. Yeah, Bob, my brother-in-law.
Well, we'll take care of Bob today, that's for sure. But you want to grill on a medium heat. But if you take any type of vegetable, especially, there again, the zucchini, the carrots, potatoes, believe it or not, Mad Dog came up with this many years ago of using just even regular canned potatoes. All right, now I realize that they're not fresh out of the garden, but if you're in a pinch, you want to do a little tailgate party or whatever, just use some Italian dressing and marinate the potatoes and Italian dressing in a bag, and then go ahead and then take the potatoes out of the bag and then just grill them directly right over the heat. They came out absolutely fantastic.
Well, how did Mad Dog, how'd that come about? You just you felt like a potato and you didn't have a bag of them?
That's exactly it. You know, we sell those little Irish potatoes in the can. If you buy the number size 10 can, you get about 100 of them little devils in there, and they're delicious to do on the grill. And if you buy the smaller cans, there's 9 to 10 little potatoes in there, you know, those little whole ones, and it sure beats Merrill having to peel them all.
Oh, that's terrible. My fingers got so sore, Joy. It's amazing. Once we get up to 88, I said, that's it. I'm not peeling anymore.
Hey, if you do buy potatoes, though, do you recommend that you, I don't know, microwave them for a while to get them kind of ready?
You know, Joy, there's a great recipe, and we'll take whole bakers, and we'll put them either in the microwave or in the oven if you're doing several of them, and pre-cook them, for about 3/4 done, let them cool down, and then we'll cut them into quarters, like pickle-shaped spears, same as zucchini. You can do this with them. You don't have to par cook it, but I'm going to stop talking about zucchini. I'm going to talk about potatoes here. Take those pickle wedges of potatoes, put them in a little Italian dressing, then you roll them in some Parmesan cheese, and then you put them on the grill and just finish them off on the grill, and they are delicious. They're like little broasted potatoes.
That sounds great. But I do want you to talk about the zucchini, though, because people are bringing in these monster zucchinis to work. They're trying to pawn these things off on everybody, and we need to know what to do with them.
You know, our favorite way to do zucchini, of course, now, I don't want to take away from Merrill's wife. You know, she makes that great zucchini bread and all those great muffins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sticks it right in the freezer, you know. You wouldn't believe that it's zucchini bread.
She sticks the zucchini bread in the freezer, not the zucchini.
Right.
You know, the bread, and then she takes it fresh out of the freezer every week, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, we take the zucchini, and you can do several things. In fact, we did it on television just last week. We'll cut it into pickle-shaped spears again, cut it into quarters lengthwise. I roll in a little bit of Italian dressing, roll a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and you put them on the grill, and they broast up just wonderful. They're delicious.
Sounds good. And so what are the other seasonal vegetables that are on your menu today?
Well, you know, believe it or not, and they're around the area, there is Brussels sprouts. You know, we're from Wisconsin. We've got plenty of Brussels sprouts.
And you can grill Brussels sprouts.
Oh, man. Mm. If you don't, you know, we have a little saying, Joy, and we say it for all the stage presentations that we do. If you boil it, you spoil it. If you grill it, you put thrill into it.
Well, that sort of rhymes.
It really does. And it's like if you take the Brussels sprouts and you put them in a pot of water and you boil the ever-living daylights out of them, you just have boiled cabbages. But when you take and you put them directly on the grates of the grill, you toast them up for 10, 12 minutes, get them nice and crusty on the outside, you slice them open, and they literally steam, and you have that beautiful, rich aroma of cabbage. And they're just delicious. If you don't like Brussels sprouts, you got to try them on the grill.
And they don't fall through the grates.
Oh no, they're double the size of any hole of the grates.
Yeah, and all right. So zucchini, Brussels sprouts, carrots. Yeah, I never thought of carrots. Just did you say you slice those lengthwise so you have long carrots?
Nope, the carrots you can keep whole.
Oh, okay.
You kind of wash them up a little bit, and there again, you got to oil them somehow. So we always suggest maybe like Greek vinaigrettes or Italian dressings. Put them directly on the grates of the grill. You roll them around for 10, 12 minutes, and you have individual little flavors of carrots. Out of season right now, but one we always preach about is asparagus.
Aspergas. I remember
Aspergas.
That.
The Aspergas lady. I love it.
No, I remember that from a long time ago. I think I was filling in for Larry Mueller, and you two were the guests, and I'll never forget that you called it aspergas.
It's amazing. You know, my mother went to a Stout in home economics and chiseled above the archways there. It doesn't say enter to learn, go forth to serve. It says kill all bacteria. and literally, you know, she boiled the ever-living daylights out of asparagus. And that's a common way to do it. And there again, if you boil it, just spoil it. But if you put it directly on the grates of the grill and brown it up for 4 or 5 minutes, it is the most delicious vegetable in the world.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm looking in your book. I think this is Festever. Or no, this is maybe an earlier edition called Holiday Grilling, and you have a Labor Day menu on here. And one of the vegetables here is blue shrooms.
Oh yes, good old mushrooms on the grill. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, there's so many different ways that you can do mushrooms. So we do a lot of what our cooking classes will do mushrooms, but a couple ways that you can make mushrooms on the grill. Obviously, you just marinate them a little bit of olive oil and any type of your favorite seasoning and grill it directly over the grill. But what we like doing is usually use about a mixture of some olive oil and Worcestershire sauce. Okay? Marinate it for about approximately 40 minutes. There again, take the mushrooms out of the marinade, place them on the grill. Grill them directly right over the heat. A good 6 to 7 minutes. You just roll them around. They come out absolutely delicious. Another thing that you could do if you like teriyaki.
Oh, tell me your teriyaki recipe, Meryl.
Yeah. Teriyaki mushrooms are just absolutely fantastic. You could already go ahead to the store and buy already marinated teriyaki sauce, if you like. Mm-hmm. Or you can make your own. If you make your own teriyaki sauce, just follow the recipe on the back of the teriyaki bottle. But I 3 times the amount of brown sugar on there. I mean, I really sweeten them babies up. And marinate them for about an hour. Then there again, grill them on the grill. And I'll tell you what, make sure you get plenty of them because they're absolutely fantastic.
Yum. The blue shrooms of all things in this book, and maybe you forgot that this might be an older book, but you put blue cheese and grilled bacon on the mushroom caps.
Yep, exactly. And I'll tell you, there's so many wonderful things that you could do with blue cheese that a lot of people don't realize. Obviously, you use it for stuffing. A lot of times, what I like doing, if I'm doing a nice sirloin steak, I'll go ahead and take a knife, poke the knife in the steak, and then just wad up a little bit of blue cheese and poke that in the steak, along with some minced garlic. It comes out fantastic too.
I was going to say, you know, off the subject of we're in just a couple of hours when we're done with the telethon here. I'm going to put a question out to your listeners. We're going to be on a radio station out in New York because we're going to be out in Connecticut later on in the fall for a home show.
Mm-hmm.
They do a bluefish out there. And the radio station we're going to be on with has a contest for bluefish, and they want to talk about grilling bluefish. And I know they get to be around 18 and 12 pounds or something, but I'm just wondering if any listeners out there of yours know, can teach us a little thing about bluefish.
Well, that's a good question. 1-800-642-1234. Know anything about bluefish? I certainly don't. Mad Dog and Meryl looking for your help, and they'll help you out too. 1-800-642-1234. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Labor Day, Monday, September the 3rd. Very happy to have you with us and inviting you to join in as we talk with Mad Dog and Meryl, the grilling buddies. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are talking about what Mad Dog and Meryl are going to be preparing a little later this morning for an appearance on the Labor Day Jerry Lewis Telethon on WLUK-TV in Green Bay. You can turn on WLUK-TV in Green Bay if you're in the Green Bay market to catch them. And I don't know, it looks like sometime after 7 o'clock they're going to be doing that. They're telling us how they are going to be preparing plank salmon today and also grilling seasonal vegetables. Sounds delicious. And we're wondering what's on your menu today. Or if you have a question about grilling that for your next cookout, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Also, Mad Dog and Merrill are going to be headed out to the East Coast a little later this fall. They're participating in a food show where they're supposed to be preparing bluefish. And they asked if you have any suggestions on that, if you know about bluefish. I certainly didn't know anything at all about it. And I had my producer, Cale Plowman, look it up on Wikipedia and got some got at least an idea of what kind of a fish it is. It says that it is very strongly flavored and that it can have a fishy taste, somewhat oily and strong flavored, so they should be eaten fresh, according to Wikipedia. Do you know anything about this? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Now the calls are coming in. Before we though go to the phones, Mad Dog in particular, I see a recipe on your website. This comes from I think it's the tailgating book. It's called Call Me a Cab Sweet Corn.
I'll tell you what, I can't get by without giving that recipe every time. It is delicious.
It sounds great. Because you don't leave the husk on.
Nope. You actually the number one messiest thing in the world is sweet corn to do on the grill. And tradition has it, you know, we leave the husk on it, Joy. We soak it in a bucket of water for a couple hours. You put it on the grill, and it char's done, it steams done. It's great. But inevitably, gentlemen, aren't we always with those welder mitts on and goggles, and we're husking everybody's ears of corn? So here's a great recipe. Is you take your dozen ear of corn, you strip them all down, get rid of the husk, get rid of the silk, and do a little assembly line on your countertop. You take a sheet of paper toweling and a sheet of aluminum foil the same size as the paper toweling for each. And you take the sheets, the aluminum foils go on the countertop, the sheet of paper toweling on top of the aluminum foils. And then you take a beautiful bottle of Cabernet, and you put like a puddle, like a little tablespoon. You do like a little Viva commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You do like a tablespoon of red wine right in the middle of that paper toweling. You put the sweet corn at one end of each one of those. You drizzle a little olive oil, a little swirl of olive oil, like a tablespoon and a half over each and around the paper toweling. And then you dice up some garlic. You dice up some onions or peppers, or maybe you add a little fresh basil, whatever's in season. And then you take each, and you roll each up first in the sheet of paper toweling, and then you roll it up in the aluminum foil to seal it all in. And then you place it on the grill 10 to 12 minutes, turning it about four times to catch all the edges. And when you unroll it, honest to goodness, Joy, you'll be doing cartwheels in your backyard. Bob will be the hit of his backyard again.
There we go. And I like first I thought, call me a cab because you got drunk from the wine, but it's because it's Cabernet is what you use, huh?
Exactly, Cabernet,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And you can use white wines, melted butter, lemon juice, onion, garlic, and do a scampi recipe. A family-friendly recipe is a bottled Italian dressing or Greek vinaigrette, so those raspberry vinaigrettes shaken up and done swirls over the top. So you can do different varieties. It doesn't have to be the wine.
Yeah. And if people can go to your website to pick up this recipe and others, can't they?
And yep. Our cookbooks, too.
Your cookbooks are there, too. All right. MadDogAndMerrill.com. MadDogAndMerrill.com. We're going to start the debate, I think, with Walter's call. It's going to be the gas versus charcoal debate. Walter in Suring, hi. You're
hi,
on the air.
Good morning. First-time caller. I've been listening, and like I say, I'm a grillologist. I'm about 72 years old, and I always preferred grilling with charcoal, and what I use is the natural charcoal. And I'd like to hear the gentleman's opinion of gas versus a briquette charcoal and natural charcoal, if there's any big difference or any advantages.
Boy, you're going to start an argument now, because that's where Mad Dog and I argue at. I'm definitely the charcoal diehard, and as you know, Mad Dog definitely has gas. But you know what? The neat thing is what you're seeing more and more people is they've done different taste tests and things like this, but I do like using natural charcoal. And you're seeing that as coming back very, very strong. Natural charcoal is 100%. Obviously, natural charcoal.
And is that different?
Natural wood.
Is that different than the briquettes I can get at the store?
Well, you know, the briquettes at the store, and they're good, and we use them a lot for catering because they do fire up and they do last a while. But there's a lot of additives in those.
Mm-hmm.
And when Merrill talks about natural lump and the gentleman talks about natural lump charcoal, it's all hardwood that they've just taken a percentage, charred it, and taken quite a bit of percentage of moisture out, so it cooks naturally and has no additives to it.
And this can obviously be purchased somewhere. Or, I mean, I've never seen that. Is that at a typical grocery store?
Yeah, you're starting to see that coming out a lot right now. If you go to a specialty store, you could buy the 100% natural charcoal.
Okay.
Grocery stores are carrying it. The big thing you want to make sure is when you're using natural charcoal, make sure it says 100% natural charcoal, because there are some companies that's just actually just charring wood and using that, considering that as charcoal. But I still like the flavor. You know, charcoal, if you got time to sit back and relax, to me there's nothing like, I grilled yesterday, did some chicken breasts. I mean, there's nothing like grilling on natural charcoal. But,
you know what, the gas grill cooking is easy, it's fast, it's convenient, and you're ready to fire up the grill, and it gets the job done. And Merrill, he likes to sit back and relax. He's a couch potato.
Yep, I like having my barley pops, too, you know, and he can have a little extra.
Barley pops, okay, I know what that is. Now, you know, Bob, Bob has gas, too.
He says
he prefers the taste of the charcoal, but it is the convenience that, you know, you don't have to wait an hour for those coals to get hot and the whole thing.
You know, we started doing grilling 26 years ago, and back then it was a 50-50 split, gas versus charcoal. Nowadays, when we travel around the countryside, which we do a lot of home and garden shows and sports shows, we do these stage presentations, we also take a survey, and 90% of outdoor grillers have gas grills now. And in technology that's changed in the industry, years ago we were on with Larry Mueller so many times, technology that's changed since the first time we were on with Larry and you folks, yourself, Joy, it's immense. I mean, the kitchen companies are getting involved now, so it's like buying another appliance for your backyard.
Oh yeah, are the techniques different? Is it a lot different if you're using gas versus charcoal?
Actually, your grilling procedure is basically the same. Is that obviously when you're cooking with gas, it's a constant heat all the time, right? And that's why a lot of people have a tendency to burn things when they're cooking on a gas grill. What we talked about earlier, make sure that you cook on a medium heat. If you're cooking on charcoal, you want to make sure that the coals are good and gray, and then spread them completely all the way across. But your cooking procedures, your gas is a lot more quicker than what it is compared to charcoal.
And, you know, there's direct and indirect method of cooking. And back in 1952, when the major company came out with that 22.5-inch charcoal grill, those gorgeously colored grills, charcoal, you bank two piles of coals on the bottom grate. You let them get good and gray. You put the meat product in the center. You have two sources of heat. You have a convection oven. In the early 80s, when grill companies came out with 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 burners, you put the two outside burners on. No burners are on in the middle. Meat product goes in the middle. You have a convection oven, and it slow cooks the meat products. Now, you two burners out there that have a left and a right burner, you're okay. You can put the meat product on the side where there is no heat. The heat source is on the opposite side. But if you're doing larger cuts of meat, you need to rotate turkeys, hams, and roasts. You need to rotate them like a quarter turn every 20 minutes or so, because the heat offsets one side. So that would be your indirect method of cooking. Yeah.
Well, and one of your books is We've Got Gas. So I didn't, if you want to go to the website, you can see that one as well. We've Got Gas, Forever Tailgating, and many other books by Mad Dog and Merrill, the Grilling Buddies. And they will answer your questions about your Labor Day cookout or your next tailgate or anytime you want to fire up the grill, be it charcoal or gas. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, Labor Day, September the 3rd. It's our state capitol report coming up after 7. Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter doesn't have the day off. Sean Johnson will be joining us after 7 to let us know what our state lawmakers have been up to and what they plan to do this week. And no, we still don't have a state budget. We'll talk about that coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking right now with two guys who don't have the day off either, Mad Dog and Merrill. The Grilling Buddies are right now preparing for an appearance on WLUK-TV in Green Bay for the Jerry Lewis Telethon. They're going to be preparing some plank salmon and grilling some seasonal vegetables on this Labor Day. And they are talking with us about how they're doing that, and answering any questions you have about cooking out anything. These guys know how to do it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our next caller is Ron in Delafield. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm actually not from Delafield. I'm from Nebraska, which means home of Angus steak. Ooh. And the reason I'm in Delafield is because if I were at home with my in-laws, they'd throw me out for my grilling technique.
Why are you that bad?
I have a basic question, which is a couple of years ago, frustrated with my grill, I went to my big box store and bought a $300 grill with a stainless steel top, hoping that would solve all my problems. And really, about all I can get out of it is what I call cream-filled charcoal puffs, because as soon as the meat starts to drip, and it's gas, and as soon as the meat starts to drip, it flames up, and then I don't know what to do to control that so that I don't just scorch things while the inside's getting done. So I'm wondering, what do you look for in the most basic equipment of this whole discussion, which is a grill?
Well, you know, the big thing that you want to do, just a couple good pointers here for a gas grill, and there's a lot of different gas grills on the market. You want to buy a good quality gas grill with a good warranty on it. But to solve some of your problems, the one thing when you're grilling on a gas grill is you've got to preheat your grill first. And we call this Mad Dog and Merrill's Grillers High Five. You want to preheat your grill for at least 5 minutes on high. When you're done grilling, you want to leave your grill on for 5 or 10 minutes because that'll help get rid of all that grease and all the residue that you've got down on the bottom of the grill.
Okay.
But if you preheat your grill on high, you can go ahead, and I like cooking steaks on a high heat, but you can cook it down on a medium heat. But I think you brought up a very good point. You see a lot of stainless steel out there in the market. You really got to check the literature. You want to buy like a 304 stainless steel compared to a 403 stainless steel. I don't want to get technical into this, but buy a good quality gas grill. You know, if you plan on spending $500, you're going to get a good quality gas grill and really check out the products.
Now, Ron, do you have like a two burner or three burners on there?
It's a four burner.
So it is a four burner. Yeah. One of our suggestions is something I just got through talking about.
And I heard that, and that might solve part of my problem, so I listened to that part.
I think that's going to solve a lot of your problems. I bet you'll be able to do 75% of your grilling can be done that way, the indirect method of cooking.
Okay.
And that way there's no direct heat underneath the meat product where the juices are dripping, so you have a 99% less chance of getting the flare-ups.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
yep,
thank
you bet. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks very much, Ron, and good luck to you. Mike in West Bend is with us. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. I was out on the East Coast a long time ago, 1975, and we traveled up and down the whole coastline there, and the bluefish are a ferocious feeder. And when they come into the little harbors and the bays, they just churn the water, and everybody, we were in a couple different little bays, little town Bar Harbor and a couple other places, and everybody else then comes out of everywhere with fishing poles.
Isn't that amazing?
And they throw, all you got to do is take a broom handle, cut it like a 6-inch length, put a couple hooks on it, and they hit anything. They just throw it out there, and boom, 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 boom.
So, Ron, they are an ocean fish.
Oh, yeah, and they're tough. I mean, they're maybe like a little tuna. I mean, and the teeth, they have teeth like a muskie, just rows and rows of teeth in them. Just ferocious feeders.
Did you eat any of them, Mike?
No, never. I was just amazed that when they came into the harbors, they just churn everything up and they just go crazy.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, as a rule, ocean fish, because they swim in salt water, cleanse themselves, and they wouldn't have that fishy flavor that they were that Joy was talking mm-hmm. about. They would be cleansed through the salt water, and they wouldn't have, but maybe because they're in the harbors, they get a lot more Maybe they're more of a rough type fish. They eat roughage or something like that.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe they taste like a salmon or a mackerel. Maybe that's what they mean by a fishy taste.
But yeah, yep, a lot of oils.
It does say. It says. Oily. It says that this is a. Thanks very much, Mike, for the call. Although a commercially important fish, bluefish are somewhat oily and strong flavored. To minimize this and any fishy taste, they should be gutted, iced promptly, and eaten fresh. If the fish is not quickly taken care of in this way, the meat will rapidly deteriorate. And it goes on. It does say that, they are often smoked.
Sure, and, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think Kale, my producer, did find me a recipe for it. But it was a grilled bluefish. And it's maybe a bit too detailed to go into, but there is some wine in it, so that's that's good.
I like that. Yeah. We'll start with that ingredient first.
Yeah, it was lemon and olive oil and salt, pepper, dill, and some wine. But it just grilling on the flesh side for 4 minutes, and it doesn't sound very complicated. And serve it with a garlic herb butter, it says. So
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for the call. You know, with since it's Labor Day, and one of the most popular things for us to grill here in Wisconsin is the brat. I looked on the website and I found Mad Dog's brats.
They are delicious.
Yeah, tell us about Mad Dog's brats.
Well, as a rule, we have several guests over for Labor Day or for any type of get-together, and this is a great recipe because they can sit in the brine for a few hours or for a half hour or for as long as you need to, and it's simply browning up the bratwurst to get the flavor of the grill, but in Ron's case, not to get a flare-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You brown the brats up really nice. You take an aluminum drip pan. You add a jar or a can of sauerkraut to that. You add a can of beer to that. You add a stick of butter, some peppers and onions diced up, and you put those brown brats in that brine, put them back on the grill in the pan, put them back on the grill, nice medium-low heat underneath them, and you let them bubble or simmer in that for another half hour to finish cooking through, and you top with all the ingredients that are in that pan, the bratwurst, and they are delicious.
I'm such an adult when it comes to this because you actually put the pan of brine on the grill?
Sure. You want to simmer them back. In the case of fresh brats, raw brats, you simply brown them up and they're not quite cooked through yet. So that's the original recipe. So you put those on the grill in that brine to finish cooking. But nowadays, a lot more good smoked brats on the market and pre-cooked brats. So you can simply just brown those babies up, put them in that brine, put them back on the grill, and let them bubble for a little bit, and just enough to soften the brine to make everything cooked through.
And then the sauerkraut, peppers, and onions that are in the brine can also go on the brat or no?
That's where the recipe comes from. We got gas.
And boy, do we ever. Can you tell me why they call, when you're driving on country roads or any roads for that matter, and you see a sign for a brat fry, why they call it a brat fry?
It drives us crazy. It really drives us crazy.
Yeah, it's like, what's there's no frying involved here, is
no,
there?
No, unless it's hot outside, you don't have a hat on, there is no frying involved.
Yes.
Speaking of Wisconsin, we're going to be, which is really nice, and you can watch for us this fall yet, hopefully. We're good friends with our people at Wisconsin Tourism, and Jerry Hoffman and Kit Sorensen from our area. And we're going to be hopefully doing some promotions with them, getting around to different tourist areas, doing cuisines of Wisconsin.
Oh, that's a great idea. I hope maybe you'll come on with us again when you're on that tour. That would be fun.
We would have it no other way.
Yeah, and we have one more caller before we're done with the hour. Samara in Oshkosh. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I don't have any Labor Day plans myself, but I recently learned a new grilled corn recipe that everyone in Mexico knows about, but it's called elote, and you grill the corn with the husk on after soaking it, and then it's so simple but just perfect. You cover that up with mayonnaise instead of our traditional butter, salt, a bit of chili powder, and a squeeze of lime. And is outstanding.
Where were we, Mara? Were you down in Colorado or something? People were doing that?
No, actually, a friend here in town who used to live in Mexico, she said, you buy this from street vendors all over the place.
Yep.
And I just thought, gosh, this is so simple, and the mayonnaise is just a nice touch because it doesn't melt like butter, so it's not dripping everywhere.
It sounds great, Samara. You think you could do that with your paper towel and aluminum foil, Mad Dog and Meryl?
You know, we've tried just about everything. We've had people tell us to put blue cheese on it. We've had people smear it with peanut butter on their hot corn.
No.
We've tried it with that paper toweling. And you know, it just kind of comes out kind of messy, but I'll give it a shot. We like the folks in Oshkosh. You know, we're from New London, so we like Oshkosh. Okay, folks, so I'll give it a shot.
So are you Hillshire fans, or isn't that where in New London, isn't that where Hillshire?
That's Hillshire originated. Our good Fritz Berniger was an old German immigrant and started Hillshire Farms gosh, near 100 years ago, but not quite. But we like all Wisconsin sausages, and we push a lot of Wisconsin products.
Yeah, and you don't name a favorite brat or anything like that.
You know what? The next one.
One.
And butcher shops. Go to your local butcher shop. Support them, because they really make some awesome sausages.
Great. Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate your time this morning. And have fun on the telethon and in your future adventures, Mad Dog and Meryl. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Happy grilling.
Yeah, you too. Mad Dog and Meryl, grilling masters, authors of many books, including Forever Tailgating, Best Ever Holiday Grilling, Grillology 101, and We've Got Gas. That's Mad Dog and Meryl saying We've Got Gas. You can see these recipes, some of these recipes we've been talking about, on their website, maddogandmeryl.com. And you can see Mad Dog and Meryl in about maybe 15 minutes or so on WLUK-TV in Green Bay. They're there for the Jerry Lewis Telethon. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Cale Plowman for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.